Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Resilient Health Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Darren Ingles, and my guest today is Deanna Hansen. And Deanna does something really interesting that I don't think you guys have ever heard about. She does something called fascial decompression, and we're going to do a deep dive in what that means and using a block to help release this part of your connective tissue that can hold tension, trauma, pain, all sorts of things. And I think you're going to be fascinated to learn what this amazing little block can do for you. So Deanna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Dr. Darren. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, I think when I say fascial decompression, after a lot of people, that word just went flying over their head. Maybe we can talk a little bit about, you know, what is fascia?
Yeah, great question. And I'm Canadian, so I actually pronounce it fascia. Just one of the differences. So I've been working in the fascia system now for over 25 years, and I've probably put about 60,000 hours of time with my hands into other people's bodies and my own. And what I've really come to understand is this beautiful connective tissue that literally connects every one of our trillions of cells, like skin to the body, fascia is the skin to the cell. So it becomes this communication system between all cells. It also creates both stability and mobility for the body. So basically it's made up of a combination of collagen and elastin. The collagen gives us the structure, the elastin gives us the opportunity to move. And when they're in proper equilibrium, what's happening is the cells basically are supported in their alignment, creating optimal space in and around the cell. Space allows for ease of absorption of nutrients in, as well as ease of waste removal. The challenge comes from the fact that we are under this constant influence of gravity. We're also dominant on one side of the body. So over time, as we compress, basically we get shorter and wider as we get older, but as we compress, the collagen starts to migrate and we age in a forward rotational direction. So the collagen migrates to create building blocks of structure. So false walls and false floors get built up in the body if we aren't adhering to proper postural foundations. And these false walls and false floors act like scar tissue. It's basically the same thing. They block blood and oxygen flow to cells. And then they also keep waste stagnant in areas, creating opportunity that's ripe for disease in the body. So the goal of what we do is we go in reverse to what time does. We decompress the fascia by putting the space back into the body that time has taken away through the process that I've created.
You know, it's funny, in medical school, I think when we learn about fascia, you basically learn it's just a covering. You know, it covers your muscles, it covers the inside of all your cavities. It's there just to kind of hold your stuff together. And we never really think about it as almost like a separate organ that has its unique structure and function and ability to move fluid in and out. And I'm sure this is a loaded question, but you know, what percentage of people suffer some element of fascial injury over the course of their lifetime?
I 100% mean, of them.
100%, right? I mean, you know, it's everybody. I mean, we've all fallen, yeah. We've had a surgery, we've had some sort of, you know, car accident, something that has compressed that tissue, even in very specific locations, which again can go on to lead to all sorts of, I think chronic pain is probably the thing I think about the most, but you know, it's going to then affect the underlying structure, right?
Absolutely. And it's not just about, you know, injuries and surgeries people may have had. It's also about the unconscious living that we do. We are born with this beautiful diaphragm muscle to breathe with, but pain, fear, and stress over time cause us to reactively hold the breath. And as a result of this, we start breathing through the muscles of the upper chest. And this creates a very different dynamic for health in the body than if we are conscious diaphragmatic breathers. And one of the things that is required to be able to breathe diaphragmatically is that proper understanding of space in the body and how to navigate the breath. So I'm just going to bring my computer down for a sec just so you can see. Yeah. So at the base of the rib cage is the diaphragm. When we inhale, it moves down. When we exhale, it lifts. And if working properly, the organs are given a continual massage. This becomes the platform or the foundation for the rib cage and everything up the chain. However, if we don't consciously breathe, and unless you're consciously doing it, you're probably breathing up through the muscles of the upper chest, then this muscle becomes weak and we literally fall in. We fall into that core space. So what happens when we fall into that core space is the weight of everything above comes crashing down into the abdomen, displacing the organs. And then when you combine that with the lack of mechanical action from breathing properly, now this area becomes cold because these organs aren't getting that massaging effect. And that's how we create energy in the body. The diaphragm is like the body's furnace. So if we're not using it properly and we're breathing through the muscles of the upper chest, it's like we're trying to heat our body with a space heater. And I live in Winnipeg. It can get to be minus 35 in the winter Celsius. Again, I'm Canadian. So it can get very cold. And if I only have, like, I live in a 30-story building. If I have a space heater for my apartment, I can only heat one room, where if you turn on the building's furnace, you heat the entire building. So we need to have a heated system, proper temperature, in order for energy, for fluids to flow properly into cells as well as away from cells. And yet if we become cold, then we become stagnant. And think of blowing up a balloon fully and completely. The balloon, it's round, it glows, it almost defies gravity. When our cells are fully fed oxygen, that's what they're like. However, if we're not breathing properly and we start decreasing the oxygen absorption over time, the cells begin to deflate just like a balloon that's deflating, and it becomes dense, heavy, wrinkled, attracting dirt and debris in the creases. And that's ultimately what's happening to our cells as we get older. We become like this balloon that's losing that life. So to be able to go backward through time, to release the adhesions that are created in the body from incorrect alignment over time, pump that life back into this newly created space, is really the focus of what fascia decompression is all about.
For someone who may have had trauma where it's very obvious to them that they had some sort of tissue injury, what might be other things that people would experience that could be related to sort of this fascial compression that they're really not aware of?
Pretty much everything that we consider not healthy, the fascia will be involved. So whether it's chronic pain, whether it's having troubles managing your size and shape, whether it's anxiety, stress, trouble sleeping, you're needing a CPAP machine to sleep. I mean, pretty much anything and everything is fascia related. And it all comes down to flow. If there's ease of flow, we have a body that functions with ease. If there's a lack of flow, it depends on what structures, what tissue is getting blocked. If it happens to be a muscle tissue, you might end up with muscle pain or cramping. If it happens to be an organ, you might have an issue in your organ. If it's your pancreas, you might have an issue controlling blood sugar or fatty liver disease or stress with the heart. If we think about flow, it all comes down to the roadways. So we have this wonderful aorta leaving the heart. And yet, you know, again, if I'm not breathing properly and aware of alignment, if I'm compressed and I sit like this all the time in front of the computer, I've taken this tube and I've now basically strangled it. And if this becomes my posture lifelong, then the heart has to work that much harder to even attempt to get the nutrients, the blood and the oxygen to all of the cells. So the body just becomes compromised in every possible way if we don't understand how to support your fascia system.
You know, I've worked with various osteopathic doctors over the years, and I know that's really a big component of osteopathic work is, you know, hands-on, you know, trying to and manually decompress this fascia that's been, you know, out of alignment for however long. But what you've developed is something very different. And can you just explain a little bit about the block and block therapy and, you know, what it is and why it might be different than other types of ways of opening up fascial layers?
Yeah. And so one of the things about fascia that's like incredible, it's even hard to fathom. When we fall out of alignment, the adhesions will grip to other structures and bone with a force of up to 2,000 pounds per square inch. That's hard to imagine that we have this internal pressure, this force inside the body. So, you know, if you've been sitting in front of a computer slumped for decades and you try to sit up straight, you might be able to do it for a moment, but you're going to get pulled back very quickly into that negative alignment because this is the force that we're dealing with. So this is the tool that we use. It's called a Block Buddy. It's got a very specific size and shape. We actually have two different sizes, the Block Buddy and the Block Baby. But they're made of wood. And the reason that they're made of wood is because bone and wood are similar in density. And as fascia, as we fall out of alignment over time, the collagen component of the fascia starts to migrate again to create these false floors. But it becomes a magnetic seal holding us out of alignment. So whenever, if think about having a magnet far enough apart, it doesn't have an attraction. Bring magnets close enough together and they seal with a force. Now, if I try to pull it apart, not going to happen, but I can shear it apart. So what we do with the tool is we teach people how to lie on the tool throughout all parts of the body. And we spend a minimum of 3 minutes in that space. And we always start in the abdomen, right on the belly button, because first and foremost, we want to teach you how to properly breathe diaphragmatically. That's the key. That's turning on that body's furnace so we can learn to heat and shear through the layers. And then depending on any area that we're working on with the block, we lie on it. And then we connect to the pain, because pain is like the baby crying. It's nothing that we want to avoid. It's something we want to move into and move through. And so pain is just the language of the cell, letting your body know that it doesn't have what it needs to thrive. So, hey, mom and dad, pay some attention to me. So you lie on the tool, you connect to the pain, you connect with your breath, but pressure overrides pain. So very shortly, as you're in position, those pressure fibers kick in and it starts to feel like a good pain. You're also in control of the pressure yourself. So nobody's doing this to you, which is also very empowering, because now you're taking this whole process and you're choosing to find pain on purpose. And we're not causing your body pain. We're allowing you to feel the pain that is deeper than what you're consciously aware of. And then as you start to settle in, the pain starts to change. And then we teach you how to twist and turn, not sliding on the block, very slowly shearing through the layers, again, for that minimum of 3 minutes, so we can melt through the adhesions all the way to the bone. You know, there's all these different fascia tools out there. There's fascia rollers, for example.
Right.
Typically, you're rolling. So you're on the surface. It's like taking a boat on the ocean compared to deep sea diving. We want a deep sea dive through the fascia so we can get to the root of the issue at the bone, release those adhesions, and open up that space. So the combination of pressure over time combined with proper diaphragmatic breathing creates a wonderful healing opportunity into that space. And then things open up and then change happens. So those are two pillars of block therapy, is putting the space back in that time is taken away, inflating the space with the breath. And then the third pillar that we also instruct you on is how to maintain that space. How should we be using our body during the day? We don't want to always go back to that negative alignment that created the issues in the first place. We want to teach people how to use their body properly so they don't have to continually go back to where they started from. We can make gains in positive action as time goes forward.
I see it at the gym all the time. There's usually some muscle head on the ground with the big foam roller, sometimes the little stubby foam roller. I mean, I've used it before. It's pretty painful. You know, I think a lot of people have that experience. What makes the block different than the foam roller? Is it really just the depth at which it's affecting the fascia?
There's a number of things. It's the process. It's not the movement. It's the staying. It's the settling in. It's connecting to the breath. It's that heating opportunity, and it's the shearing, and it's the medium itself. The fact that it's made of wood, because if it's more porous, we're not going to be able to get to that layer at the bone. We want to create an equi-squeezing essentially, so that we're heating at that bone connection as well as where the block is. If we're just using something that's fairly porous, like a plastic roller, again, you're going to be affecting the surface layers, but that's not where the issues are. They're deep at the bone. So in order to get there, that's the key. And also where we use the block, we always start on the belly button, because we want to teach people that's where the breath should be coming from. Anybody listening right now, they can simply lie on their back, place their hands on their belly. And when you inhale, it should be the belly that rises. But in many cases, people are breathing through the muscles of the upper chest. So if anybody can see us here, those short, shallow breaths, the reason this is problematic is because it's at the base of the lungs where the majority of the oxygen receptor sites reside. So we want to pull the air deeply into the lungs to reach that bed of abundance. And when we do, we can absorb up to 600% more oxygen compared to if we're breathing in a shallow way. They've also proven that 84% of weight loss comes through proper exhalation. So for people struggling with their size and shape, which was me in my 20s, I trained as an athletic therapist and I was doing the work. I was running weights, Tai Bo, aerobics, dieting, and I was getting bigger. It was like, why are the rules of weight loss not applying to me? But then when I started the practice of yoga, I had a wonderful teacher first time around, and every 30 seconds she reminded us to breathe, and every 30 seconds, I realized I'm not breathing. So
that's a lot of people.
Well, it is a lot of people, because again, pain, fear, and stress cause us to reactively hold the breath. And I mean, this world it's kind of a stressful place for the most part. So that's our typical state of being, is this upper chest breath. And that's really the problem. We're simply not regulating our systems properly. It affects your brain frequency when you're breathing in that way. It keeps you in a stress phase. So we're not sleeping properly. We're not delivering nutrients properly, and we're becoming toxic as a result.
You know, I can see this as being something that would be very helpful as part of a detox program. It seems to me that if you get compression of fascia, that's going to limit your lymphatic flow. And since lymph doesn't have any pressure behind it, it depends on movement to get that fluid. I can just see there's these constant, you know, roadblocks along the fascia. Can you talk a little bit about how this might help just improve your detox pathways?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, especially think of the liver. So how important is the liver for detoxification? And fatty liver disease is on the rise. If you have butter at room temperature, it's a solid. But if you heat it, it becomes a liquid. So one of the positions, actually not one, we've got a number where we literally are lying with the block on the front of the liver, the side of the liver, combining that with the mechanical action of training this breath, we heat this area. So if you've had fats that are frozen and clogging your liver, now they begin to melt. And by teaching people that the diaphragm is really the engine of the body and it needs to be working all the time to keep the fluids moving, that's how we do it. And it's fascinating because even the lymph nodes up through here, everything really comes down to making sure that the roadways are open. Anatomical position is palms facing forward. If you look at pretty much anyone and everyone, everybody's palms are facing behind them because partly we collapse in the rib cage, right? That creates internal rotation. And now this is creating blockages to flow in the arms. So when we can understand how to work through the entire body, melt the adhesions, train the breath, and then also understand how to use your body in a symmetrical, balanced way, changes fast. And again, it's not just like you're managing what's going on in your body. You're taking steps to get to the root of the issue so that you can move backward through time. And that's the fascinating part. Like when we start diving into this initially frozen container and we start heating it, we pull up the deeper stuff so that we can deal with it, get it out of the way so that we can go deeper, pull up the deeper, deeper stuff so we can, you know, get it out of the way. And that's huge when it comes to trauma. Emotional trauma, physical trauma, whatever it is, any trauma, we're going to reactively hold the breath. Like a deer who survives an attack, they shake. People tend to go into freeze mode. So if we don't release that trauma in the moment, now our breath is compromised. And if we're growing from that point forward, especially if you're a child, when you need that oxygen to develop properly, now you're starving your system. So you don't develop the same way. And you get caught in this pattern of reliving and you become reactive instead of active in life.
I see it with a lot of my patients with different types of body work that it'll actually release that deeper emotional trauma. Is that something you've seen with people you worked with, that they start, you know, doing this work and then all these flood of emotions comes to the surface?
Absolutely. But one of the really important things with trauma, the fact that we really focus so much on the calves and the feet and the forearms and the hands, this is where the fascia freezes and holds us out of alignment with the greatest force, because this is where the area is furthest from the engine. So they're the most frozen. So when we start really tapping into the full body work and we start creating a release in these areas, the letting go of the past is so much kinder than if you are doing other things like, you know, tapping in all the other wonderful ways of pulling trauma up is wonderful. But if you're really holding on to a whole lot of stuff and you don't open the proper channel, sometimes it can be overwhelm. So we want to make this a process that is kind and supportive. And absolutely, some people can have overwhelm because, I mean, you know, everybody's coming at it from a different place, but nightmares popping up, having suddenly like bouts of crying or anger coming to the surface or any other number of physical responses are very, very common with this work.
Is this something that, you know, you can do as an adult, a child, an older person? Is there any limitation on maybe who shouldn't do it?
No. And that's the really cool part. I have a gentleman who's in Ireland. He's 73 and he started with his 102-year-old father and the changes that he has made. He's walking again. He's sleeping. He's like tripled his food intake. His legs that were swollen are now no longer. We also have kids doing it. It doesn't matter if you're bedridden, you can, this work is done lying down. You can do it in bed. If you're an elite athlete, you can elevate it to a different level of adding isometrics into the work. So it becomes the therapy first, but then also exercise and meditation all wrapped into one. And it's really just the desire of the person to take ownership of their own health and become independent with that. And when that's the case, people can truly navigate what they need to do. Not that we don't need help along the way, but then you have a different sense of, when do I need help? And when do I have the tools within myself to really deal with what I'm going through?
You mentioned that you start with the belly, the abdomen first. How do people know where the next step? I imagine this is something that's probably very individual depending on each person's needs. How would each person kind of know where the next steps are? Or is there a kind of a specific protocol to follow of then go to this tissue and so forth?
Yeah, we have our starter program laid out in a very specific way. So always starting in the core to get that breath strong. And then we come down to the foundation, because if I have migraines, the patterning of my feet are still going to be the major cause site. So if I just work up in the areas of concern, I'm not going to get to the root of the issue. So the protocol that we've set out covers the full body in a systematic way. I also have a membership with a number of different guided programs, depending on your goals and what you're doing. But we want to always start by first understanding how to navigate pain in the right way. And it's all about learning that your breath is your guide. So if you get into any position and you're like, oh, too painful, and you're struggling with your breath, that's your body saying, no, let's back off. Let's do it in a less intense way. And you're in control. You can do it on a bed. You can change. Like, we've got ways of teaching you that. And as long as you're breathing in that relaxed way, you're moving life into the area that we're focused on. So that's really the navigation. But we have it all laid out in a very systematic way to make it very, very simple, including the addition of the alignment training pieces, which is probably the hardest part to integrate, because that's all habit-based and we're dominant on one side. So especially right. If you're an athlete or a musician and you're always doing something in one direction, to understand how that adds up over time, creating asymmetries, which create the adhesions that block flow, and then what to do with that. That's part of our programs.
It almost seems too simple.
I know. And that's the funny thing. And it's too good to be true, because really it doesn't matter if you're dealing with dis-ease, again, size and shape challenges, chronic pain for decades, understanding how to support your fascia will improve any situation. As soon as you start learning how to breathe and use your body the way the body was intended to be driven, change happens in a positive way.
Well, we want to give people an opportunity to learn more. We're going to drop a link. I know you have a 9-part series, if I'm correct, on the whole fascial decompression. So we'll drop a link in the show notes for that for people who are interested.
And if I may just add, that's using a rolled up towel. So you can start right away. And the rolled up towel, it's pretty darn dense and it works really, really well. It will absolutely give you the understanding of what's going on in the body from the perspective of fascia decompression.
Great. And Deanna and I were talking before we jumped on the line here. And we're also going to set up a demonstration for those of you who really want to see it in action. We'll offer it through our membership. And if you're not a member, please, I highly encourage you to join so you can go deeper and learn more. But we'd love for you to take that opportunity to watch Deanna with the block and actually see how it's placed, how you kind of move from different body parts. I know me, I'm a very, visual learner. I like to see it in action first. And I think this will be a great opportunity. So we'll get that scheduled for the not so distant future. Deanna, is there anything else that people really need to know about block therapy that we didn't talk about yet?
Just try it. I mean, it's fascinating. People feel the difference, class one, because we focus on the breath. Once you connect to that, which is really, from my perspective, the biggest thing I want to teach people is how to breathe properly. Even if you're taking breathing classes, we really need to focus on the exhale. We also want to release the adhesions in the rib cage so that we can open up the potential to be able to use this muscle in its entirety. And when we do, we're a different physiological animal on every respect. So learning how to breathe, which is a God-given right, and it's free, it's the most important thing. So simply by starting, things change.
Well, I can just speak from my own professional experience. Seeing people who do this type of body work, it can lead to amazing results. Again, it's easy to take the pill. It's easy to do some of these things. This kind of work takes a little bit more effort, but it can lead to really quite amazing results in your structure and ultimately that underlying function. And like you said, you know, there's so many things it's applicable for. We just love for people to give it a try. And again, I love anything that you can do at home on your own, on your time, on your
schedule. Lying down on the floor in bed. I mean,
exactly. And the fact that this can be adapted to anyone's ability or disability, that, you know, it's just great that you have something that anybody can use. So again, we'll drop the link into the show notes, and I really appreciate you spending time with us on the podcast, and I look forward to people being able to experience this for themselves.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
All right. Thanks, Deanna.